Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now this morning, Pastor Reynolds will be bringing a message titled, Getting It Right, and we're going to be starting in the book of John, chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles handy, please turn to the book of John, chapter 3, as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
In John, chapter number 3, verses 1 through verse number 3, the Bible states this, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. In verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We think about the subject, getting it right. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. Nicodemus had a lot of good things going for him, but he was a lost man, and Jesus Christ knew this when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus said unto Jesus Christ, Rabbi, that is teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus Christ immediately changed the subject. Jesus Christ, instead of talking about himself and how he came from God, he immediately began to talk about how that Nicodemus was a lost man. The Bible said in verse number 3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I think many times we must get it right when we talk to people about the Word of God. Nicodemus was a good man, but he was lost, and Jesus Christ spoke to him the truth. In verse number 3, Jesus said, Verily, verily, that is, truly, truly. He said it twice to emphasize the fact that what he was saying was absolutely right. You know, sometimes I visit in hospitals, and I see many, many sick people. Some are terminally ill, and some are in just for tests. Some are in the hospital to have babies, so that is a very good time to visit. Sometimes when I get to the hospital, the people have already gone home. That is really good. I'm glad that they're at home. There have been other times that when I got to the hospital, the family greeted me with tears in their eyes, telling me that their loved one had just passed away. Anytime I visit people in the hospital, I must have it right, and they must also have it right. The doctors and nurses certainly want it all to be right, because eternity is at stake. We're dealing with people. People that have all kinds of lives, all kinds of questions. But we must understand that we are dealing with people. Once I had a neighbor who had two little boys and one little girl. The oldest boy was in the second grade, and the girl was in the third grade. The smallest boy was going to start kindergarten the next year. This smallest boy drank some gasoline and, of course, inhaled the fumes. There was little hope for his life as the fumes kept coming up from his stomach and he continually breathed the dangerous vapors. The little boy didn't live very long, even though the parents rushed him to the hospital when they discovered what had happened. After the little boy died, many neighbors rushed to the family home in an attempt to help the family cope with this tragedy and find some understanding or some reason why these things happened. I remember going into that home, and I remember the story that was told to me. I think it was a very sad story. But one well-meaning neighbor rushed in to tell this precious mother that her son had now been made one of the angels of heaven. I think it's a very sad story. She told this dear mother that there was a special place in heaven for children who die, that they have a special agent of God to watch over them while they grow up in heaven. When I heard this tale that had been told, I wondered where in the world this neighbor lady got the idea of telling this story to this grief-stricken mother. This story certainly did not come from the Bible. Is there a Bible verse anywhere that states anything near to this? Well, there isn't, is there? People can get comfort from a lot of sources, but the greatest comfort of all is found in the Word of God. Many comforts are false comforts, and in the end yields wretchedness and more hurt. The only true comfort comes from God Himself. God is well able to help the comfortless. This is exactly what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus when he came to Jesus Christ by night. When he came to Jesus Christ and said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Nicodemus knew that God was something special, but he didn't know exactly what. And Jesus Christ got right to the point when he told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus Christ told this to Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the Pharisees, who was well acquainted with the law of God, but he was lost and he needed salvation. Whenever you visit people in trying circumstances, it's always important to get it right. There's people that's looking for help. They're looking for comfort. But sometimes people must be told the absolute truth of the Word of God. When Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ, Jesus told him the truth. Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee in the Jewish religion. Not only was he a Pharisee, which indicates that he was among the best educated, he was also a teacher of the Pharisees. Nicodemus was teaching others about the Bible, about God, and about the Pharisaic doctrine. The only problem was that he was wrong. Nicodemus didn't know Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. Listen, on that day, it would have been so wrong if Christ had simply told Nicodemus, "You need to go on your merry way, and you need to just keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a good thing." But Jesus Christ did not do that. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Sometimes it's good to be sincere, but Nicodemus was wrong in his sincerity. Nicodemus did not have eternal life. He was not born again. Nicodemus would have gone to hell if he had died without Jesus Christ, but Nicodemus didn't know the facts that he was facing. Nicodemus had made some very serious mistakes in his quest for religion. Nicodemus, you see, had been circumcised as an infant. Yet his circumcision would not save his unworthy soul. Nicodemus was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a teacher. He was circumcised. Nicodemus had also been educated by the religious intelligentsia of the day. Nicodemus had fulfilled all of the requirements set down by the Pharisees. Yet all of these qualifications did not grant him eternal life. There are lost people today who are earnestly, sincerely seeking salvation. They want to be saved. They want to go to heaven when they die. And they want to receive forgiveness of their sinfulness. They want to be clean and pure before Almighty God. And they know that death is coming their way. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But they don't know that. They don't know when illness will come to them, and they don't know when they're going to die. But they know they're going to die because every person comes to the place of death, and they want to be right. For these people, they must hear the absolute truth. The absolute truth comes from God's own precious word. Listen, good works do not give eternal life. Good works, understand this, good works do not give eternal life. A lot of good people die and go to hell when they die. Don't be one of those. Understand that salvation is given to you by God and by God alone. Ephesians 2 in verse 8 through 10 states this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Good works will not give you or anybody else eternal life. The Bible says, "For by grace, that is unmerited favor, you are saved through faith." And the Bible even says that the grace and the faith does not come from yourselves. Read in Ephesians 2, verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Salvation is a gift that God gives. He gives it freely to anybody that will come to Him and repent of what they are and trust Jesus Christ. You see, good works will not give you or anybody else eternal life. Read with me just a few verses before Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. Read Ephesians 2 and verse 1 through verse number 3. These verses emphatically declare, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You see, grace, spoken of in verse number 8, is unmerited favor. The Bible emphatically declares here in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 through 3 that everybody is walking, is living their lives according to the course of this world. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one that ever died for somebody else. Jesus Christ did not have any sins at all, but He gave His life on Calvary's cross. He was righteous, but He gave His life for unrighteousness. That's us. And Jesus Christ freely saves us. You see, God gives eternal life to all who ask. All a lost person has to do is repent of who they are and ask Christ for His salvation. Then they can turn from their sins. They can trust in Christ alone. Then there's a continual ceasing of all kinds of sin. You see, what people need is Jesus Christ. He is the true one. He is the right one. He is the just one. And He gives eternal life if you just ask. That's what He said. Salvation is a gift from God, not a work that any person does. It is a gift that God gives. Nicodemus, you see, was a very good man, but he was not good enough to get into heaven based upon his good works. Christ told Nicodemus, a good man, that he must be born again to get into heaven, to be right before Almighty God. Think of this. Being baptized will not give eternal life. It doesn't make any difference. If you have been baptized, if you're still lost, you're still lost. Being baptized will not give eternal life. Matthew records that there were some lost people who were full of their own religion, who came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Matthew 3, verse 5 through 8 states this. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. These are people that are coming in mass quantities to John to be baptized of him. The Bible said in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, listen, this is snakes. John the Baptist is calling these Pharisees and Sadducees, he's calling them a generation of snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And then John says in verse number 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Listen, if baptism could have saved them, then John was wrong to not baptize them. But John was not wrong. He was right to not baptize them because they had no works, they had no fruits indicating they had even repented. Think of this. Somebody says people are saved whenever they are baptized. They're saved when they're underwater. That is not so. John did not see anything in these people to show him that they had turned from their sins and turned toward trusting God alone for eternal life. And he refused to baptize them. Salvation comes before baptism, not after and not during. Listen, being a church member does not assure a person of going to heaven when they die. Judas Iscariot was a member of the first church, the church that Jesus Christ established during his personal ministry, but Judas Iscariot was lost. Judas even held an office in the first church. He was highly esteemed and trusted by other church members. According to John 12 and verse number 6, Judas had the bag that contained the treasury of the church. Judas was a church treasurer. He was highly esteemed and trusted. But Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ called him on it. Jesus Christ knew beforehand who would betray him. But the other church members trusted Judas. They didn't require Judas to give a detailed accounting of where all the money went or what all the money was spent for. In John 13, verse 29, this states that during the giving of the Passover and the establishment of the Lord's Supper, that Judas left the assembly of the church. Judas went out to betray Jesus Christ into the hands of the Pharisees. He thought that Jesus Christ would just simply disappear, that Jesus Christ would not be taken captive. Judas was an apostle. He was chosen by Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. When Jesus told the church that a person at the table with them will betray him, all the people asked, "Is it I?" Nobody considered that Judas was the one. But Judas knew. He knew the things in his heart that he had already devised the plan. All of the things that Judas did not give him eternal life or even grant him forgiveness of sins. When Judas died, he died lost and went into his own place. Listen, Judas was baptized. No doubt he was baptized. There's no record of that in Scripture. But no doubt he was baptized because he was an apostle. He was one that was chosen by Jesus Christ. You see, it won't guarantee anything at all. Nicodemus was also a teacher of the Jews. He was a good man, but he was not saved. Listen, being a preacher or doing miracles does not guarantee that a person is saved. I want to say that again. Being a preacher or even doing miracles does not guarantee that a person is saved. Somebody will surely say, well, I know that all preachers are saved. But this is not what the Bible says. Listen to Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. The Bible said here in this place, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Bible goes on in Matthew 7, verse 21. It says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The Bible says in Matthew 7, 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Listen, in this place, Jesus Christ is saying that all of the things that these lost people did is iniquity in his sight. That is wickedness. That is sin in his sight. Salvation is a gift of God. If you're lost today, it doesn't make any difference what you've done in your life. Oftentimes, we might think that a person that is real bad cannot be saved. Listen, a person that's real bad can be saved. A person that has committed many crimes, a person that has been convicted of those crimes, a person that is in jail can be saved. Let me tell you something. A person that is also religious can be saved. Nicodemus was a very religious man. The Bible said that he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a teacher of the Jews. He was a man who went and did many good things, but he was lost and he needed salvation at the hand of Almighty God. That's exactly what he needed. He needed to be saved because he was lost. In his heart, he was totally depraved. He was very religious, but he was lost. You see, baptism does not save you. Being a church member does not save you. Preaching does not save you. Jesus Christ is the one that does the saving. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through verse 10 says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Salvation is a gift. We don't work for a gift. You don't earn a gift. You don't do anything to even deserve a gift. But salvation is a gift. It is what God has freely bought and paid for. Jesus Christ paid for our salvation on the cross of Calvary when he died, that we that are unworthy, that are condemned, that we might receive the free gift of salvation. And he gives salvation to all people. It's no accident that Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10 states, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That is, faith is also what God gives unto us. We're not of works. It is a gift of God. Romans 10, verse 8 through 10 states this, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is, the word of faith which we preach, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 6 and verse 23 states this, The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, salvation is a gift. It is not something that we work for. It is not something that we earn. It is not something that we even deserve. Salvation is a gift that God gives. And He gives it very freely. Nicodemus was very confused about all of this statement. And he said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus Christ said, no, that's not the way it is. Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The Bible said in verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How can a person have eternal life? This question was only asked one time in the entire Bible. In Acts 16, Paul and Barnabas were in prison in Philippi. At midnight, there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. The bonds of every prisoner was loosed. The keeper of the prison was going to kill himself when Paul and Barnabas stopped him. At that point, the jailer asked the question that we find in Acts 16. He said, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Barnabas answered the simple question, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If you are lost, Jesus Christ came into the world, and He died on Calvary's cross, and He raised again to save your unworthy soul. We pray for you that the Lord would grant you eternal life. Jesus Christ died that all might have life. Jesus Christ came to the world to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost today, repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and He can wash away your sins.
Well, thank you again, Brother Wayne, for the message this morning. You know, may we always be careful what we say and make sure that it's rooted and grounded in the Scripture. Now, before we close this morning, we do want to invite each and every one of you to our Sunday services. We'll be meeting for Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship services at 11 a.m. Now in the afternoon, we're going to meet back together for a prayer meeting at 3:45, and then worship services again at 4:30. Now during the week, we'll also have our weekly Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. And our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri. Now, we want to also remind you of some special services that we have coming up. Every year in July, we have some revival services. Now, these services will be held the week of July 24th, and we're going to be having both morning and evening services. Now, in the morning, we're going to come together for worship at 10 a.m., and then in the evening, we're going to be starting at 7 p.m. And our speaker this year is going to be Brother Larry Lafferty from New Testament Baptist Church. Now, the services will be held at our building at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri, and we hope to be able to see you there. Now, between now and then, you may want to check out our website to learn more about us, or maybe even listen to some of the messages preached during our prior revival services. And that website address is www.independencebaptist.org. From there, you can listen to our prior revivals, you can check out the radio broadcasts from the prior years, and you can also read many different books, articles, and tracts that we've made available. And we really encourage you to check it out, and maybe even pass it along to others that might be interested in it. So again, that website address was www.independencebaptist.org. Now, as we come down to the close this morning, we are really thankful that you're able to join us and that you're able to listen this morning, and we trust that it was an encouragement to you, and we'd hope to be able to join you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.